touchdown!
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye! Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Hey, y'all. Who dat and what is up? I am Jeff Nowak. This is a live episode of Inside Black and Gold. Did anything happen today? Is there anything worth talking about? It's funny. After last episode, I was kind of thinking to myself, man, Saints aren't going to put out an injury report until Thursday. There's not really going to be a ton of news to talk about. So what are we going to talk about? What's there possibly going to be to talk about on Wednesday ahead of what is the official start of the week on Thursday? The Saints are playing on Monday night, so their first practice of the week isn't really until Thursday. They got out on Wednesday. Today, I'm recording this for a light walkthrough, right? But that's not really a practice day. So I was like, what are we going to talk about? Well, wouldn't you know it, yesterday, I don't even know what time, around midday, Davante Adams makes it clear that I want to get traded. I would prefer to play somewhere else. So there we go. There's our topic. We're going to talk a lot about Davante Adams. We're going to talk about whether it makes sense, how the Saints could pull this kind of trade off, whether it would make sense to pull this kind of trade off, how, if they did, it could impact the offense. All of that good stuff. We're going to dive in this first segment. Second segment, we're going to hear an interview with Keith Williams. He was on WBL this week, the Saints wide receivers coach, which good timing because Keith Williams' connection to Davante Adams is obviously a big factor in this, along with Derek Carr's connection to Davante Adams. So we'll dive into both those connections, and we'll hear from Keith Williams in the second segment. Final segment is going to be a mailbag. I have a feeling it's also going to be about Davante Adams, but any other questions y'all have, throw them in there. We will get into as many as possible in the final segment. So let's return to the subject at hand, and it is Davante Adams. Who says no? That's a good question. The Saints are obviously not a team that you would look at and say, yeah, that is a group that should be head over heels in love with a receiver that makes $34 million a year that would suddenly change the offense after 4 weeks, two wins, two losses. You are firmly in the middle of the pack. Doesn't exactly scream one player away. But there's got to be a method to this. The Saints have looked at acquiring a Davante Adams in the past. They talked about it. When they signed Derek Carr right back then, you were in a situation where it was like, hey, maybe we can go get Davante Adams. Didn't work out. The Raiders were committed to Davante Adams. And, you know, you can understand why. You look at the production of this guy, and it's been very, very consistent, right? He's a guy who's had four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. It would be seven consecutive 1,000-yard seasons if not for – actually, I'm sorry. It would be six consecutive 1,000-yard seasons if not for a 997-yard season. Way back when. So, I mean, this is a guy who's basically on autopilot for 1,000 yards. You look at even the 15 games he and Derek Carr played together, he was over 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns. So this is a guy that Derek Carr understands how to use, played with at Fresno State, and would immediately add teeth to this offense in a way that you probably need it, right? This is a bigger guy. He's more of a contested catch player than the Saints have. I was asked by someone, was like, hey, do you think – if they had Davante Adams, it would have won them either the last two games, close losses to the Eagles, a close loss to the Falcons. And my answer was 50-50, right? Like, I don't think that Davante would have made a difference against the Eagles. I think that you were kind of where you were in that game, regardless of whether you had another weapon there. But in the Falcons game, you will not convince me that if you're throwing an end zone fade, if they're sending a zero blitz and you're throwing an end zone fade to a Davante Adams instead of a Rashid Shaheed, that Davante doesn't have a much better chance to come down with that ball. And I think if you scored on that initial touchdown drive, the failed fourth down touchdown drive, you have a better chance of winning that game, because even if the Falcons go and drive for a field goal, you probably get the ball back. You understand what I'm saying? So I do think that there is a level to this where, hey, will this offense improve? Yes. But for me, and I put out a thread kind of on this vein, but for me, there's three questions you ask whenever you're considering making a trade like this. One, the first one, the most important one, can you do it? Not should you, not will you, can you do it? Can the Saints, a team that is hysterically over the salary cap every year to a point that that number doesn't even matter, right? But a team that is almost always going to be kind of pulling every lever it can to get under the salary cap prior to the next season, can that team take on a Davante Adams contract? And the answer, while complicated, is yes. You can do it. You can figure out a way to either have the Raiders take on some of that salary, which would probably require you to send them an extra or a higher draft pick, draft compensation, which we'll get into in a minute here. You could restructure a player like Alvin Kamara. You could extend Davante and add some void years to the end. There are ways, if the Saints want to get this done, that they could get this done, right? So that answer is yes. The second question is, should you do it / will it actually improve the team? We'll unpack the second part of that right now, which is, I don't need to sit here and explain to you who Davante Adams is. We all know who Davante Adams is. He will improve this team. How much? I don't know. But there's no world where you look at it and you say, we are going to add a Davante Adams and it will not give us a better chance for success on offense. So to answer that question, yes, it will improve your team. And the third is, what will it cost you? And I'm talking both financially and locker room wise, right? Like, are you looking at a scenario where there's resentment, right? And to me, that's the biggest question. And we'll dive into a few other elements of this as we go forward. But I think people underestimate the kind of personal toll it takes to A, trade a player, and B, trade for a player, and try to incorporate them in an already established locker room midstream. And you're talking about a group of guys that has been there the whole time. You're talking about a guy like Chris Olave, who's finally in that wide receiver one role, is playing well, and you're then supplanting him with a veteran player and saying, yeah, we like him better, right? Like, how does that affect the motivation of those players? How does that affect, you know, just the general status of that locker room? Team chemistry is weird. I feel like it's there right now, right? I feel like team chemistry with the Saints team is where you want it. So before you make any trade like this, you have to consider, hey, how will this affect that room? Because just as easily as he could show up and put you over the top from an offensive perspective, he could show up and kind of tilt things in a negative way too. So you have to weigh that. But it's hard not to like what this guy would offer. You bring him into the room. Now he's 31 years old. He's played in 153 career games, but he has kind of been a tank in his career. He's played at least 14 games in 8 of his 10 seasons. He has never played fewer than 12 games in a season. In each of the last 2 years, he's played in all 17 games. This year, he played in the first 3 games. He's nursing a hamstring injury now. I find it hard to believe that, oh, yeah, okay, I'm hurt now, and then I want to trade, and that has nothing to do with it, right? Like, you look at a Chris Olave playing through a hamstring injury last week. Are you going to play through an injury for a team that you're not committed to? Probably not. So I'm not going to put a lot of emphasis on that injury right now as a reason you should or should not make this trade. But that's where it is. So you look at it, you say, hey, he's in year 3 of a $140 million contract. It's a 5-year deal. His cap hit each of the next 2 seasons as it stands right now is $44 million. Just let that wash over you for a second. That's not the entire value of the contract. That's his cap hit over the next 2 years individually. So you're talking $88 million over the 2025 and 2026 seasons that you were dedicated to. Now, that's not all guaranteed, but in order to make this work, you're going to have to start restructuring, pushing stuff forward, guaranteeing more money. So you're going to get into a scenario where this team that you kind of felt like the organizational philosophy was, hey, we like the pieces in the building. We feel like Dennis Allen and Derek Carr can get the job done, but we're going to wait and see what happens, right? Like, it's very clear that this Saints organization is not head over heels with this group in the sense of, hey, we're not in win now mode, and this is a win now trade, right? This is very much would be a win now trade. And the thought experiment I give you on this is, okay, look at it and say, the reason Devontae, which the Saints and the Jets would be his two preferred destinations, obviously there's a common denominator there. It's quarterback he played with. He played with Derek Carr at Fresno State. He played with Derek Carr for a season with the Raiders. Clearly, despite how that ended, it's not coloring his opinion on playing with Derek Carr. So that's a positive thing. The other side is the Jets, Aaron Rodgers. You know, so this is not a quarterback. This is not a player who's just picking his quarterbacks flippantly. You can't just take him in and say, well, we're just adding Devontae Adams. It has nothing to do with Derek Carr. It has to do with Derek Carr, because I look at it this way. Take Derek Carr and even Keith Williams to that extent. Keith Williams is a private wide receivers coach. He's worked previously. He worked with Tyreek Hill, Devontae, a few other guys. So they know each other. But kind of take that out of the equation and just look at the Saints and say, this group with quarterback blank is looking at trading for a 31-year-old wide receiver who makes $35-plus million a year. How would you feel about that trade, right? Like, independent of anything else, would you feel like, oh, yes, no-brainer, go do it? No. You would say that's a bad idea for a team in the scenario the Saints are in to go do that. So you're making this trade because of Derek Carr, right? You're not making this trade in spite of Derek Carr. You're making this trade because of Derek Carr. And that's significant, because I know the agenda, right? Like, a lot of people are excited about the agenda. I haven't heard about it as much over the course of the season that I did in the preseason. But here's my thing. If you're in a conversation at a bar with somebody and they say, I want Spencer Rattler to be the starting quarterback of the Saints next year, and do with that information what you will. I'm not telling you you should want that to happen, or you shouldn't want that to happen. But you are talking to someone who wants Spencer Rattler to be the starting quarterback of the Saints, and in the next breath they say, I want the Saints to go trade for Devontae Adams. To me, those ideas are mutually exclusive. You cannot believe those two things at the same time. Because this trade, if you made this trade, you are virtually guaranteeing at least one more year of Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. Probably more. And it's for a few reasons. One, because you are saying, hey, I trust this group enough to go make this win now trade and go try to do something with it. And in a weak NFC, in a year where I don't see any real juggernauts in the NFL. You know, the juggernaut of the NFC was the 49ers. And without Christian McCaffrey, that's a very beatable team. So, I mean, you're looking at that and you're saying, hey, we're going to go all in with these guys. So that's not a trade you make if you're, hey, we're just going to cut the head off the snake and keep going. No, that's a trade you make to a group you're committed to. Beyond that, the only way to make this contract work would be to continue to push forward Derek Carr's cap hit and continue to push forward a lot of the veteran cap hits that I think some people would prefer that the Saints move on from, right? If you're of the idea that the Saints should start tearing things down piece by piece, or at least kind of veteran contract by veteran contract, which is the reality, then you can't be for this trade. Those two things don't add up. So just keep that in mind. And I'm not saying that's a good reason to not make the trade. I'm just saying, like, if you are of the belief that the Saints should be working their way back to the middle from a salary cap perspective, then this is not a trade you can make. This is a I'm tweaking out because I haven't made a crazy contract decision in a while, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go all in, 2-2. That's all I need to see. I don't know. I think it's tough. It's tough because you look at a team that I feel like can win. I feel like can be a playoff contender. But my philosophy on trades as it pertains to kind of these big money win now trades is you can make them and you can justify them if the goal of that trade is to take yourself from a Super Bowl contender to a Super Bowl favorite, or from a playoff contender to a Super Bowl contender. I don't think you can make them justifiably if your goal is to go from a non-playoff team to a playoff team. And the fact of the matter is, this is a team that has missed three consecutive postseasons. That's what the trade would be for. It would be, hey, we believe with Devontae Adams in the fold that we could become a playoff team. I don't know if this team can win in the postseason. I need to see them get there. You know, this isn't the example I turned to was kind of the Rams in 21, right? You traded for Matt Stafford. Midseason, you added Odell Beckham. You made a bunch of trades. You gave away a ton of draft picks, right? But that was a team that had made the Super Bowl a few years earlier. I know we've collectively tried to erase that from our memory banks, but that's the bones of that team had been to the Super Bowl a few years earlier. They were a perennial playoff contender, and they felt like, we finally have the pieces. We're going to push all of our chips into the table and go get that Super Bowl, and they got it. Are you willing to sit here and tell me that the Saints, with the structure they have, the outlook they have, the pieces in the building, should feel like, here's my chips. They're right here. Tearing it down is over here. Tearing it down and going with a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback is taking your chips from the middle of the table and pulling them closer to you, walking over to the cashier and taking whatever you have left and leaving with it, right? That's what that would be. What this would be is taking your chips, putting them in the middle of the table, then throwing the deed to your house on top of it. How confident are you in that? And so that's where we are. That's where the Saints are. That's where this conversation is. And I don't know how realistic it is. I don't even know how realistic a trade of this magnitude is. I think we're going to kind of drag this out and figure out, okay, what is the market for Davante Adams? Because if you can find a way to get him in here with not a second round pick, maybe a fourth round pick, and then figure out the money on top of that, I think you can get something done. I just don't think trading a second round pick and an asset would make a ton of sense. And that's what the Raiders are reportedly looking for, is a second round, like a high day two pick and an asset on top of that. Now, the Saints would probably have to send an asset either way just to try to make some of the money work. And the popular name you'll hear people say is Paulson Adebo. Now, if I'm the Raiders, is that a guy that I want, considering I have to go extend him anyway? And the only reason people are saying Paulson Adebo is because he's the guy we're mad at this week, right? because of that pass interference and a couple bad plays. So he's the guy that people are ready to push out the door. He's on a contract year. So I don't know, but it's hard for me to get past the Jets, a team that must feel pretty desperate considering what they've already done to bring in Aaron Rodgers, must feel pretty desperate to get something done this year, the next year, because what else are you going to do? You've already hitched your horse to that wagon. You have cap space, so it's a much more reasonable addition. You have the assets. The Saints have the assets. This is one of the few years that, you know, when I say, can they make this trade? Yes, the Saints have the assets. They have all seven of their picks for next season and probably a comp pick coming in. So, you know, you can justifiably do that. You can. And me, someone who courts chaos on a regular basis, I'm all for it. Go bring me Davante Adams. Let's see what happens. But from a more sensible perspective, would it benefit you in the long run to do it this way? I don't know. Cause here's the thing, you know, you just moved on from a player that was similar to Davante Adams from a skill set perspective. You couldn't make it work with Mike Thomas. Now, is Davante going to be more of a Derek Carr guy? Probably. Is that the answer? Maybe. But I don't think that anything Mike Thomas and Derek Carr were able to do together was particularly exciting. Now, this is a different offense. This is a situation where maybe you can incorporate him more. But this is an offense that we've seen run 11 personnel at a very low rate. Is that a product of, okay, we don't trust the third wide receiver on the roster anyway, and we're going to have him block, so we might as well have that be a tight end? Maybe. That's a question that Clint Kubiak will probably be asked at some point and not actually give a satisfactory answer to. But you would have to change how you're operating to incorporate Davante Adams. And you would have to change your reads on plays, right? You would, like, that's the biggest change for the Saints offense from years past, is Chris Olave is the primary on basically every read. Now, are you going to change that up? Are you going to reincorporate your entire offense around Davante Adams? Or is he just going to be kind of someone you insert midstream and try to figure it out with? And I don't know. That's, NFL offenses are tough. And I just don't know if you can do that in the middle of a season. I've never seen the Saints really try to do that. I've seen them bring in defensive players, right? You're talking about Eli Apple, Jackrabbit Jenkins, guys like that. Even running back, you saw them add Mark Ingram. But obviously that was an offense that he knew like the back of his hand, so that wasn't all that difficult. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. But we'll see. Either way, I look at it and say, if they made this trade, at what point in the season would it actually impact the offense? Because it's not going to be on Monday in Kansas City. You could trade for him literally this second, and he would not be prepared to run offense against Kansas City. So you can throw that one out the window. So you got to go find a way to win that game with the team on the field right now. You're on a short week hosting the Bucks. If you traded for him again right now, you would be hard-pressed to have him ready to go for that week six matchup, right? So you're throwing everything into flux. And then you've got two games, which you lose both of those games. Suddenly you're 2-4. Suddenly your season is not only not going well, you're talking about, man, are you on the fringe of saying, you know, let's hit the eject button at 2-4. I don't think you would be, but you have to start considering it. Then you have a short week against the Broncos. So would he even be ready for that? Probably not, at least not at the level you would need him to be to actually improve your offense, right? So we're probably talking about week eight, if you made this trade, before Devontae Adams actually had a positive impact on this offense, just realistically speaking. And by week eight, you could potentially be 2-5. And then you would be kind of adding this star wide receiver making $35 million a year, trying to rescue your season. I don't see it happening, guys. I really don't. As fun as it would be to watch Devontae Adams incorporated into this offense, I just don't. I don't see it happening. And the reason is it's midseason. You know, if this was in the summer when they should have been trying to trade Devontae Adams, I would say, of course, you do this and you figure it out. Midseason, it becomes a lot more complicated. And I don't know. Like, I don't feel like this offense is at a point where you have to, you feel like you need to do this to make things work. But I don't know. I don't think the Saints are a Super Bowl or bust team, and this would be a Super Bowl or bust move. The hilarious thing is Mike Florio put out a list of 9 possible landing spots for Devontae Adams. The Saints aren't on it. I need to know. Like, what? Why does Mike Florio hate the Saints? What did New Orleans do to Mike Florio? Only wrong answers in the comments. Well, tell me in the comments what New Orleans did to make Mike Florio so mad, and I'll go through the best ones in the mailbag. But either way, that's where we are. We'll see how this develops in the next few days, right? If I had to pick now, I'd say the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, the reunion in New York, the other Ohio State receiver that got picked in the first round of the 2021 draft gets supplanted by Devontae Adams, and that would be Garrett Wilson. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Either way, we're going to hear from Keith Williams in this next segment, Saints wide receivers coach. Now, this was an interview done before all of this hit the fan, so you're not going to hear him talk about Devontae all that much, but he had some interesting insights on all of that. But either way, that's where I land on it. I don't think it's going to happen. I would love for it to happen. And we'll see. There's like 70 comments in there. I haven't gotten to go through them yet, but we'll wrap this segment up. We're going to come back with that interview with Keith Williams. This is Inside Black and Gold. I am Jeff Nowak. It is Wednesday. The Saints didn't practice today, so I have no information on the Saints practice participation. I take that back. The Saints did practice today, but we were not entitled to go and deal with that practice. So I have no information regarding that practice. We'll have information on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but gonna hit a break here, gonna come back. Who dat? Stick around.